Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Well, we're happy that you're here this morning, and I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Romans, the 15th chapter, and the first seven verses. We're going to be also looking some at the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, and talking about what it means to accept one another. Because we find that statement here given by the Apostle Paul. It's great to have Sharon Dybert with us today. I want to mention that she hasn't been feeling well and hasn't been able to be with us for a while. So Sharon, it's great to see you today. You know, in the New Testament, we have a number of places where we find this statement to how we are to treat one another, that we are to love one another, we are to edify one another, we are to encourage one another, we are members of one another, we are to bear with one another. And there are many of those statements that are found. So today we're going to look at this one that is here in Romans chapter 15. And in verses 5 through 7, he says, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God." Now this word, receive one another, is the word that I'm referring to. And in various translations, it is translated, can be translated, receive one another, or accept one another, or welcome one another. Various ways that it can be translated, very similar in meaning though, and sometimes those shades of translation actually help us to get a little clearer picture of what the word means. But I'm going to key on accept one another and use that as the phrase that we're going to be working with today. That we are, as fellow Christians, told in the New Testament that we are to accept one another as Christ has accepted us. And that is such an important thing for us to keep in mind as we serve the Lord and as we live the Christian life. And the reason that this phrase is found there in this letter, as we would expect, is there was a situation that existed in the church in Rome that made it very appropriate and needful for the Apostle Paul to talk about this subject, to accept one another. And that was that mainly it was because of the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles that existed in the church, not only in Rome, but in other places as well, there in the first century. But it especially was a needed teaching here in the church in Rome. And that may not seem such an important thing to us, but living in the first century, this was a very real issue of how do Jews and Gentiles, as fellow Christians, how are they able to relate to one another and accept one another? Because the differences that existed between them were so decided, or so dramatic, or so noticeable differences, so extreme differences, that many people would have said, there is no way that these people can ever get together. Because when you think of the background of the Jews, for example, they were with living under the old covenant, the law of Moses for so many years. The strict dietary laws, for example, the days, the holy seasons, whether they could eat certain meats or not, the abhorrence of idolatry, that to the Jew, any idol was an abomination. And the Gentiles, on the other hand, grew up in this pagan Roman society, more or less, and now had become Christians, coming out of that to embrace faith in Christ and live the Christian life, but their background was so different. And it's hard for us to fully appreciate what that must have been like living back there. But as they came into the church, it was a culture shock for Jews and for Gentiles to look around the congregation and see that there were, you know, many Gentiles there. There were many Jews there, and for either side of that, that was something that they just weren't used to, and it was so different for them to understand, to even understand how the thinking process of these other individuals was so different from their own thinking process. And yet God was bringing them together in Christ and teaching them to love one another, to serve Christ, and that Jesus had died for us all, and that we can be brothers and sisters in Christ. But the issues that they were dealing with were a lot of struggles that they were experiencing because of these differences that they had. Paul, in writing the Ephesian letter, talks about this as a mystery. You know, he says that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. That this is a mystery, that something that no one would have foreseen other than God, because of they were just like polar opposites to one another. And it seemed impossible almost that for them to ever work out these differences that existed between them. Well, actually, this is a very valuable teaching that Paul gives here in this letter, because it still is very much a real application for us today. Because it raises some questions, and Paul answers those questions for us here that are very needed in our own lifetime. Because the questions, not just the cultural differences that were between Jew and Gentile, but how do they get together in the church in knowing that they have these differences? How can they work together? And the question for us is, what do I do when I encounter those kind of differences among my own brothers and sisters in the church today? In other words, when I find a Christian who has some different beliefs than my beliefs, how do I handle that? How do I relate to that person once I realize they don't have the same set of beliefs that I have, and yet they have come to those through their study of God's Word, but they have come to some different conclusions than what my conclusions. Is it possible for me to have fellowship with them? Is it possible for us to still be able to come together and worship as a congregation if that situation arises, if that exists? Where we have brothers and sisters who don't all see eye to eye based on their study of the Scriptures. I mean, they have studied God's Word, and that is the basis of where they have come to these beliefs that they have, but it's just not the same as those that I have or that you have. So that is the question. What do we do in a situation like that? Is it even possible for us to worship together? In other words, is it even a good idea? Is it advisable for us to even try to worship together? Wouldn't we be better off to just separate and go off in our separate directions if that is the way it's going to be? That we're not going to all be on the same page when it comes to the understanding of Scripture. Now, some of the questions that they were dealing with in the congregation, there were people there that felt like you should not eat pork, for example. They had a big issue in their conscience that you should not eat pork. And other people thought, well, what's the big deal? You know, that should not be a problem. And other people felt like the Sabbath day, when it comes around to the Sabbath day every week, we should not be out working. We shouldn't be at home. That is a day for us to be praying and quietly studying, reading the scripture together as a family. And other people, they don't have that thinking at all. It's entirely different. So, should they just separate into two groups and say that, you know, this is hopeless. We will never be able to work out these kind of differences. That is such a huge contrast between, and here we are trying to get along together in the same congregation with these different kinds of beliefs. How can we do that? Well, what Paul says is God wants us to do that. God wants us to work together. He wants us to accept one another. He wants us to work through these and overcome these differences that we have. Not to separate, not to divide, not to allow those differences to come between us in our common faith in Jesus Christ. Even though we do have some different beliefs, even though we do have some different practices, it is possible for us to have fellowship. Eating of meats, the observing of holy days, and other issues like that, there are going to be those kind of differences between Christians. But what God says to us is that we need to accept one another and learn to build upon our common faith and learn to have a proper attitude to one another while we grow in our faith and we grow in our life. God wants us all together, in other words. He wants His people to be united, to be able to overcome differences, that when differences arise, and they are going to arise, we need to be prepared. We need to be mentally and spiritually, and we need to have the maturity of our understanding of the gospel and of Christianity that we are able to handle those sort of in stride and continue to grow and not allow that to come between us. Now, that acceptance needs to be based upon His will. And it needs to be built on a common faith and a common love that we have for the Lord. And we need to be growing in our knowledge, and we need to be continuing to study and try to come to a proper understanding of God's Word. But in the meantime, God wants us to continue to work together and to love one another and accept one another. That is what Paul is speaking about here. Now, many people, in looking at this passage here in Romans chapter 14 and chapter 15, will say that, well, these are talking about matters of indifference to God. What is meant by that, matters of indifference, is, well, if God hasn't said anything about it, then He must be indifferent about that subject. And therefore, it really doesn't matter what you believe on that. But what are these differences that the Apostle Paul is talking about here? Well, they are differences that were based upon their understanding of God's Word. They had come to these conclusions through their study of God's revealed will. And yet they had come to different conclusions. They had not arrived at oneness of understanding at this particular time. So these were and are important questions. This is not a matter of indifference to God, especially when it comes to how do we handle this problem? How do we address this? How do we respond to that when it comes up today? That is not a matter of indifference. Well, yes, we are going to have differences of as we study the Scripture. Some people are going to come to different conclusions than others come to. But when they are studying and coming to that conclusion through the study of God's Word, and they are basing what they believe upon God's Word, then Paul is saying we need to not expect that this has to be resolved immediately. It doesn't have to be resolved today, or else we divide and we cannot any longer work together. Now, I think it's very interesting how the Apostle Paul handled this subject here in the Scripture. Because in some ways, Paul does let it be known here where he stood on these questions. I mean, in verse 14, he says, in Romans chapter 14, in verse 14, for example, he says, "I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean." So he tells us where he stands on this in that statement. But does it in a gentle way. That's not his main point. His main point is not to say, "I am the apostle, I have the revealed knowledge, now listen, I'm going to tell you what the truth is." He doesn't approach it that way here in this passage. In verse 5, he says, "Let each be fully convinced in his own mind." In other words, one person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. So we can kind of understand what Paul himself believed about these things. But at the same time, he is not approaching it as this is a black and white issue. This is an issue that we all have to agree on. And listen up, I'm going to tell you what the answer is. And when we think about it, God's Word is not written that way. If God had wanted to, He could have given us a list of the issues. He could have just gone down through them and said, "Now on this issue, here is the truth. And on this issue, this is the truth." And He could have spelled that out for us. But of course, that's not how the Word of God is written at all. And it's much deeper than that, and it requires us to study it and apply it to our lives in many different ways of how we are to live, how we are to have faith in God, how we are to love others and care for them. So Paul, rather than approaching this issue in that way to say, "Okay, guys, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, and I want this to stop right now, this fussing between the two groups, because here is the truth." He doesn't address it that way. What he is saying is that what we need to do is learn to work together. When these differences come up, we need to learn to, as we continue to grow, and as we continue, we need to respect one another. We need to love one another. We need to give each other room to study and grow and continue to respect each other and be able to address one another as brother and sister and have a good attitude to one another. And the reason that that is so important is, well, I can ask you the question, are there different views today among Christians? Do we have different views among us even right here in this congregation? Yes, we do. We do. So it's not a simple matter of someone getting up and saying, "This is how it has to be, because this is my understanding of the Scripture." What God is saying is, no, these kind of things are going to happen among fellow Christians. That we need to give each other the opportunity to study and grow in these areas. And these are subjects, many of them, that people who are seeking to know the truth go to their Bible and they study them, but they come up with different conclusions. So that is a disputable matter. That is a disputable issue. And a disputable issue is a teaching or practice that two or more people disagree on. And they disagree on it because they base it on the Scripture. As they understand and as they have studied the Scripture, that is the conclusion they have drawn from it. We have different beliefs. We have different convictions. But we have gotten to those by studying and seeking to know the truth. And we can't just say, well, why don't you get it? You know, are you dishonest or what is the problem? You know, why can't you see what I see? Rather than having that attitude, what we need to be able to do is say, okay, we understand there are going to be differences. As people study the Scripture, we're not always going to see it on the same way. Every single time. We're not going to have 100% agreement on our understanding of the Scripture. But we should be able to have the proper attitude to one another. And we need to accept one another. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we don't have to divide just because there are some people who come to a different conclusion than what my conclusion happens to be, based on the study of the Scripture. So let's go to Romans chapter 14 and go through and see what the Apostle Paul is saying here in this context. Because the greater context of chapter 15 actually starts back here in chapter 14. And we need to understand that. But this is a whole section where he is dealing with this question and this issue. So beginning in Romans chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, receive one who is weak in the faith. In other words, accept one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. So he starts out here by saying, accept one who is weak in the faith. Even though we don't agree with his conclusions or his convictions, and we don't look at it like, oh goody, here is an opportunity for us to get into a big debate over this issue. I love debating. And this is an opportunity. We can go at it with one another. Because here's an issue that we don't see eye to eye. All right, in verse 4, he continues. He says, who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. In other words, you have this difference. They believe this way, you believe this way, when it comes to the days that... Now some people believe that these days we need to observe this as a holy day. Other people, it's just another day. Nothing special about it. But, no. That's not it at all. Accept him who is weak in the faith. In other words, am I supposed to get out the Word of God and start pounding away? No. That isn't what he recommends that we do. Show him that I have the stronger faith, that I am the superior knowledge. I know my Bible. And at some point, if we go down that road, it is going to get to the point where the tempers are going to start rising, We're going to start getting impatient with each other. We're going to get to that point where we're going to say, what is the problem? Why don't you get it? Are you honest with the Scripture or not? Because here's what it says. And it will eventually get to that point if we keep insisting on resolving the issue immediately. So Paul is saying, don't do that. That's not the right way to approach it. Don't accept them to pass judgment on them. Accept them as your brother. Love them.